we're supposed to be in the business of encouraging our children and being positive toward them as we guide them toward the glory land. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 warns, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but in contrast, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." It seems clear from these passages that it is possible for a father to so impose regulations and restrictions on his children that they find it impossible to live up to his expectations. Caution must be exercised lest fathers lose sensitivity for their children. We do not want to be severe with our children. We want to be fair and we want to be balanced. We want to discipline with love and concern for their welfare. It's easy to lose your temper. It's easy to get overly agitated and exercise when it comes time to disciplining children. So a good rule of thumb is when you're administering corporal punishment is always get a hold of yourself before you get a hold of your child. Severe is defined variously as causing a lot of physical pain or suffering. Severe is defined as very harsh, and I've seen fathers be very harsh in relating to and training and guiding their children. Severe is also defined as strict in judgment, discipline, or government, of a strict or stern bearing or manner. Rigorous in restraint, punishment, or requirement. Strongly critical or condemnatory. These are some of the ideas associated with the word severe. So we want to make sure that we are not overly strict, that we are not harsh, that we are not insensitive as we relate to our children. There's a final hidden danger that all of us have to be mindful of, and that is the hidden danger of sinfulness. Sinfulness. Now, parents are not sinlessly perfect. Parents make mistakes. Parents sin. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. And you're going to sin some more. But the thing that we should not do, the trap in which we should not fall as Christian parents, as Christian fathers, as Christian mothers, we must not endeavor to portray ourselves as sinlessly perfect or as having never done anything. You know, we want to sometimes portray a picture to our children that I was a great fella and I always did what was right. I didn't ever do anything that was wrong. Children have better sense than to believe something like that. You can be honest with your children. You can be open with your children about sins in the past, and you can try to guide them around some of the sins of which you might be guilty. But don't try to present yourself as not having experienced any sins, because children will pick up on that. You know, children are not crazy. They got good sense. They are very discerning. Fathers must, however, never justify or condone sin in their lives while condemning it in the lives of their children. Fathers who would effectively lead value personal discipline. Sometimes it gets very challenging as a father. Sometimes it gets very challenging as a husband. Sometimes it gets very challenging as a mother and as a wife. And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we lose it. Sometimes we sin. We don't feel good about it. And when you sin against your child, do not be too proud. Do not be too stubborn to say, daughter, I was wrong. I ask your forgiveness. I'm sorry. Don't be too proud and too rotten stubborn to admit that you've made a mistake or to admit that you have sinned. And so I messed up. I'm going to do better. Sometimes we feel, well, I can't admit or acknowledge that I have committed sin. I can't admit that I was wrong, that I did something wrong, because my son might not respect me. My daughter might not respect me. So I'm got to be cool and calm and collected, and I have to refrain from finding myself in the posture of confession and acknowledgement. I don't want my children to disrespect me. You are doing the very thing that will lead to a loss of respect for you and a loss of believing in your integrity as a parent. The very opposite is true. Children respect parents who are honest. They respect parents who will tell them the truth. They respect parents who will admit, I blew it. I messed up. Will you forgive me? Now, if we practice egregious sin in our lives currently, or if we become guilty of a dastardly deed and don't properly resolve the issue, it can lead to some serious problems in your life. Unresolved sin in one's life, living an ongoing life of hypocrisy, can seriously compromise and undermine your ability to effectively parent and guide your children. And sometimes a parent might feel that, man, I blew it real bad. I really messed up awful bad. I did something that I'm just totally ashamed of, and my children know about it. And I feel so bad, but I don't know how to handle it. I don't know if I should conceal it. I don't know if I should acknowledge it. I don't know if I should ignore it. But this can be a real danger. And I referenced very briefly the case of Brother David. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And in an effort to try to cover it up, because he had impregnated her, he called her husband from the battlefield, and he tried to deceptively manipulate Uriah to going down to his wife's house and spending the night with her. But Uriah was such a man of fairness and balance and integrity, and honesty that he would not do it. Even when David got the man drunk and tried to send him down to his house to be with his wife so he could palm off the pregnancy on Uriah, Uriah would not do it. Even when he was drunk, when he was inebriated, he still refused to go down to his house. David, for him, that was the last straw. And he said, well, this is my final option. I'll have to have him killed. And he wrote a letter to the commander. Say, you give this to him. He did not know that inside that letter was his death warrant. He was to be put forward in the heat of the battle so that it would be certain that he would become a casualty of war. It was nothing short of murder. Good old, faithful, reliable Uriah didn't even bother Eric to open the letter. So I wonder what's in here. No, that would have been a violation of his honesty, a violation of his integrity. So he delivered the message as it was given. This whole incident undermined, in many ways destroyed, David's ability to effectively parent. Notice, after David had been confronted by the prophet Nathan, look at 2 Samuel 12, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? And parents need to always be aware that when we do wrong, when we do evil, God knows it. God sees us. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, these are the serious consequences. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor. In reality, David had all kinds of problems and trouble subsequent to his commission of these two dastardly sins. One of his sons raped his daughter. Another of his sons assassinated the son that raped his sister, that is, the daughter of David. Another son rose up in rebellion, the same one that killed his brother for raping his sister, Absalom. He rebelled against his father. His father didn't directly confront him or correct him. You thought Eli was bad and how he dealt with his sons. You need to consider David. David did not discipline or correct his son Absalom, nor Amnon, nor his other son that raped his daughter, this son's sister. Of course, she was his half-sister, but he raped her. David did not handle that properly. David did not handle it properly when Absalom killed Amnon. He did not handle it properly when Absalom went away and stayed for 2 years. He never, based on what scripture reveals, he never did handle that properly. And I think that he did not handle it properly because his parenting ability had been seriously damaged, sabotaged, and undermined because of this hidden danger of sin. We have to be careful. We have to remember that we have to live lives that are non-hypocritical. We can't say one thing, teach one thing, and do something else and live in some other way. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye and don't consider the plank or the log that is in your own eye? We want to sometimes condemn our children for things that are less seriously than we ourselves are guilty of. We should strive to be open. We should strive to be able to live lives that are transparent before our brothers and sisters in Christ and before our children and our families. We must avoid the hidden danger of sin. When we think about a father who has personal discipline, he must control his tongue, he must control his tastes, he must control his temper. Proverbs 15:1-2, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Colossians 4:6, we're talking about a faithful father controlling his tongue. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Ephesians 4:26, controlling his temper. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Philippians 1:10, signifying that we should control our tastes. Paul says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And the passage we often quote in Philippians 4:8 is a good template for controlling one's tastes. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, the kinds of things on which we think continually and perpetually are a clear indication of what kind of taste we have. Sin, sinfulness, hidden danger. Now we move to our final point, Brother Gary, profile of a faithful father. The faithful father anticipates honorable dividends. What do I get out of this? What is the payoff? How am I going to be benefited? What honorable dividends do I anticipate as a faithful father? The first one, a spirit of contentment. You just feel good when you know you have done your best and when you know you have done a good job in raising and rearing your children. And you can sit back and watch them and smile. You see they are faithful to the Lord. You see they are good employees. You see that they try to live right. You see that they try to live lives of selflessness. That they have a spirit of generosity, that they are kind. You say, well, I did pretty good, you know, and you feel kind of content. Another dividend, honorable dividend, is commendation. You know, sometimes folks will say to a father, it's a man, you have a fine son. I can appreciate how you reared that boy. I can appreciate the kind of character that he has. And the father can say, well, My wife and God played a vital role in helping me to mold and train and develop my children. But they say, I commend you. Sometimes my wife will be in the store and she will see a mother with a child that is particularly well behaved and who is just kind and obedient. And she'll say, ma'am, I couldn't help but notice your little child there. I'm so impressed with them. They are so obedient, and he seems to be so respectful, seems to be so kind. That's commendation. That's a commendation. And you don't have to be a perfect father or a perfect parent in order to warrant commendation. Your children ain't gonna ever be perfect. And you know the reason I know? Because you ain't gonna ever be perfect. You ain't never been, and you ain't never gonna be perfect. But you can be upright. You can be honest. You can continue to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if your children make mistakes, and they will, you've made some as a parent. I've made some as a parent. I've made some as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, as a middle-aged adult. I'm still making some. That does not invalidate your faithfulness to God when you don't make a practice of sinful behavior. You know, you don't have to go around with your head hanging down. You try to help your children through their challenges and their problems, their difficulties, and encourage them and let them know that they can move past mistakes. You can be supportive of them and encourage them. You can start over. God still loves you. God is still in the forgiving business. And he'll be very supportive of you. You receive as an honorable dividend commendation from the sovereign, that is from God, commendation from the saints, your brothers and sisters, and commendation from the society in which you live. But there's also the honorable dividend of compensation. Money cannot buy what the faithful father enjoys as he views the godly lifestyle of his wife and children. His is the altogether satisfying compensation. When we hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You see, we have a stewardship in our children. God has blessed us and entrusted them into our care. Like he gave the five-talent man five talents, the other man two talents, the last servant gave him one talent. They had the responsibility of properly taking care of and managing those talents. God gives us children, and he expects us to manage them. We won't do it perfectly, but we can do it, and we should do it. As I close, I want to emphasize a concept here. I want to emphasize a concept. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 one more time as we close. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord. How come? For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It occurred to me as I was reading over this passage one more time this evening, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, all of us have parents. All of us have mamas and daddies. And all of us are mandated to honor our fathers and our mothers. Now, one good way you can honor your father and honor your mother is by loving your wife and by bringing your children up right and by living an exemplary life before them, by guiding your children and by providing for them and for their mother and loving the wife like you love yourself. When you do that, you are honoring your father and your mother. Doesn't that make sense? That's one of the best ways I know of to honor your father and mother. Be a good father. Be a good mother. Bring your children up according to the teaching of the Lord. And you will be, Dad, a faithful father. The lesson is yours. If there's anyone here who needs to solicit prayer or needs to be restored or need strength to deal with the challenges of life, feel free to make it known as we together stand and as we sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus Christ.